Dr. Pinsky dictating a mail IME on Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Carlin, C-A-R-L-I-N. Stephen Carlin is a 66-year-old male who reports he was injured at work on 2/9/21 when he slipped on ice. Brady believes he injured his head, neck, hand, and elbow and was seen at the emergency room the same day. Brady had further evaluation and treatment, including surgery on the elbow, hand, and a plate in the neck, but is unaware of his final diagnosis. Brady is no longer receiving any active treatment. Period. There's that section. It's normal. In paragraph, as per his claim petition, Mr. Carlin alleges he slipped and fell on ice on 2/9/21, injuring his right elbow, head, and hip. Period. Medical records show he was seen orthopedically by Dr. Zucconi, Z-U-C-C-O-N-I, on 2/9/21. Apparently, he related the mechanism of injury, stating he hit his head, right elbow, and buttocks. Apparently, his hat and gloves went flying. Apparently, he informed the supervisor of the injury and referred him to Dr. Zucconi. He had a history of wrist surgery, finger surgery, left meniscectomy, eye surgery, and hypertension. Dr. Zucconi evaluated him and diagnosed contusion of the head and lumbar spine as well as right elbow contusion. He recommended reevaluation in 48 hours to reassess for possible concussion-like symptoms. However, for now, he would remain out of work. Brady did return on 2/11/21, stating he felt, quote, okay, end quote. He also feels some light, quote, tenderness, to the back of his head, and has pain to his lumbar spine that radiates to his hip and leg. He was released from care and discharged at maximum medical improvement, effective 2/15/21. Period in paragraph. However, the petitioner returned to this practice and saw Dr. Disabella on 3/11/21, stating he still had headaches. He rendered a diagnosis of concussion without loss of consciousness, for which he prescribed Furoset. He also had a tension headache that was secondary to a cervical strain from his previous injury. He will continue to work full duty and be referred for physical therapy. He continued to see Dr. Isabella through 3/25/21. He's feeling better and was working full duty. He was again deemed to have reached maximum medical improvement to return on an as-needed basis once he completed his last two remaining physical therapy sessions. New paragraph. A cervical spine MRI was done on 5/20/21. Make that 5/14/21. At C2-3, there was uncovertebral hypertrophy with mild disc bulging and mild spinal stenosis, semicolon. C3-4, mild posterior disc osteophyte complex with uncovertebral hypertrophic change, semicolon. Mild to moderate posterior disc osteophyte complex and uncovertebral hypertrophy at C4-5. Compared to C5-6, there was mild to moderate posterior disc osteophyte complex and uncovertebral hypertrophy. Compared to C6-7, there was disc bulging and uncovertebral hypertrophy. The radiologist wrote the findings are all considered chronic with no specific acute abnormalities. There were ample markers for chronicity at every level, including spondylosis and modic changes, desiccation, common narrowing, common facetoropathy, and orthovertebral hypertrophic changes. Apparently these are greatest at C4-5, but present elsewhere. Apparently there is no evidence of an acute etiology. A cervical spine MRI done on 5/14/21 was also read by Dr. Parikh, P-A-R-I-K-H. Apparently the review just described was done by Dr. Fortgang, F-O-R-T-G-A-N-G. In any event, Dr. Parikh diagnosed multi-level degenerative changes as described. Paired at C2-3, there was mild spinal canal stenosis, common mild right and moderate left neural foraminal stenosis. Paired at C3-4, there was moderate spinal canal stenosis and mild cord compression, common moderate to severe right and mild left neural foraminal stenosis. Paired at C4-5, there was moderate spinal canal stenosis, common flattening of the ventral cord, and severe neural foraminal stenosis. Paired at C5-6, there was mild spinal canal stenosis, common minimal flattening of the ventral cord, common mild to moderate right and moderate left neural foraminal stenosis. Period. The petitioner also underwent EMG, but Dr. Gallagher on 5/10/21, period. It showed mild ulnar neuropathy at the right elbow, almost certainly at least somewhat clinically significant, semicolon. Mild median neuropathy at the level of the wrist, comma, possibly clinically significant, semicolon. Severe old right superficial radial neuropathy, comma, a lesion dating back decades, semicolon. Borderline right C5 radiculopathy, with no definitive evidence of active denervation, comma, but possibly clinically significant to his chief complaint of right-sided neck pain, which radiates into the right proximal right upper extremity. Period. There. Was. Median neuropathy at the right wrist and ulnar neuropathy at the right elbow. Parity also had an old superficial radial neuropathy not clinically significant to the current presentation. Parity had unimpressive white C5 radiculopathy is probably clinically significant to his neck pain and radiating symptoms, but there was no evidence of plexopathy. Period. He was on gabapentin in the remote past, but not since his recent injury. Period. In the paragraph, he was then seen by Hans specialist Dr. Strauss on 2/27/23, period. Stress that neurology consultation was performed on 5/4/21 by Dr. whose name is not, well, scratch it, by Dr. Syrow, S-Y-R-O-W. Period. She wrote he had right cervical radiculopathy with cervicogenic / occipital headache, comma, likely C6 radiculopathy, also with ulnar neuropathy after a fall at work onto the right side. Parity referred him for an MRI of the cervical spine and was prescribed him nortriptyline. Period. He would give consideration to an occipital nerve block. Period. She explained his headaches are at the back of the neck and gave a constant pressure. Period. He completed 5 weeks of physical therapy 3 times per week within the past few months. period of short-term memory is not as good as lately since the fall. Brady forgets if he has dropped off money that he was supposed to. Brady told his brother the same things twice. Brady is able to care for himself every day and was working. Period. He followed up with Dr. Sarrow on 6/25/21. Excuse me. When occipital nerve block was administered. Period. Dr. Syrod wrote correspondence on 8/4/21, stating the petitioner had last been seen in the office on 6/25/21. Period. At that date, she believed Mr. Collin could not return to his previous employment as a medical transport, but can do light duty only due to physical limitations, as outlined in the functional capacity report. Period. He can only work maximum of 3 hours a week. Period. Further recommendations about his ability to work are left to the pain management specialist. Period. New paragraph on 4/26/21. Dr. Bowden, B-O-D-I-N, performed a hand specialist evaluation. Period. He rendered diagnosis of right cubital tunnel syndrome, as well as right elbow pain with olecranon bursitis. Period. He was then referred for an EMG, done the same day. Period. He returned on 5/18/21 regarding ongoing symptoms of compressive neuropathy. Period. He referenced the EMG study done by Dr. Gallagher on 5/10/21. Period. They discussed various treatment options, and the plan was to pursue right elbow cubital tunnel release versus transposition and right endoscopic versus open carpal tunnel release. Period. The diagnoses were causally related to his work injury. Period. On 6/8/21, Dr. Bowden performed endoscopic carpal tunnel release and ulnar nerve anterior subcutaneous transposition at the elbow. Period. The postoperative diagnoses were right carpal tunnel syndrome and right cubital tunnel syndrome. Period. He followed up with Dr. Bowden, and on 7/15/21, x-rays of the right hand demonstrated significant arthritic changes with reduced and irregular joint space involving the index and middle metacarpal phalangeal joints. He was then rendered an additional diagnosis of osteoarthritis of the right hand, involving mostly the index and middle finger MP joints. Period. Additional therapy with home exercises and scar massage techniques were reiterated. Period. At Dr. Bowden's post-op follow-up visit on 9/2/21, he was 12 weeks status post the aforementioned surgery. Brady is very agitated and was upset that his appointment is 15 minutes behind, 5-0 period. He stated this is unacceptable and he will be complaining to his workers' comp adjuster. Brady, with regard to medical issues, he denies any improvement after surgery compared to his preoperative complaints. Period. He has decided not to pursue spine surgery as he does not trust doctors. Period. Upon exam, he had full active composite digital flexion with all fingers meeting the distal palmar crease. Period. There was full passive extension of all digits. Period. There was mild, less than 10 degree extension contractures in the index and middle finger PIP joints. Our flexible period sensation was intact distally at all fingertips. Period. Dr. Bowden commented that he did have objective improvement in terms of his tenel sinai with the carpal tunnel and ulnar nerve at the elbow. Period. He did not doubt that the petitioner had persistent neuropathic symptoms. Pretty as known cervical radiculopathy overlapping the distribution of his median and ulnar nerves, and had consulted with multiple spine surgeons regarding potential intervention. Period. Dr. Bowden deemed he had reached maximum medical improvement with regard to the carpal tunnel and cubital tunnel syndrome. Beardy cleared the petitioner to return to full duty without restrictions relative to these diagnoses. Period. New paragraph on 6/18/21. Mr. Carlin was evaluated by Dr. Gupta, G-U-P-T-A, for pain in the neck, comma, right elbow, comma, and right wrist. Period. He described the cervical spine MRI results. Period. He had a history of right elbow surgery, comma, right wrist surgery, comma, left knee surgery, comma, and another right wrist surgery. Period. Dr. Gupta diagnosed cervical radiculopathy and opined he was a good candidate for an epidural steroid injection. But this was administered on 6/29/21. Period. On 7/20/21, Dr. Gupta performed medial branch blocks from C4 through C6. Period. Another epidural injection was administered on 8/17/21. Period. He nevertheless remained symptomatic, and they agreed to pursue trigger point injections in the right paracervical region at the next visit. Period. New paragraph on 5/28/21. He was seen neurosurgically, but Dr. Testaudi. Period. He reviewed cervical spine x-rays taken in the office on 5/20/21. As well as the MRI of the cervical spine on 5/14/21. Period. Per the report, it demonstrated straightening of the cervical lordosis without malalignment. Period. There is multi-level disc desiccation and disc space narrowing at C2-3, C4-5, and C5-6. Period. At C2-3, there was uncinate hypertrophy on the left greater than right, causing mild foraminal and central stenosis on the left greater than the right. Period. At C3-4, there was a subannular disc osteophyte complex with uncinate hypertrophy, causing moderate stenosis and mild cord compression. Period. There was also severe right and mild left neuroforaminal stenosis. Period. At C4-5, there was moderate posterior subannular disc osteophyte complex, causing moderate central stenosis and flattening of the ventral cord, causing severe bilateral neuroforaminal stenosis. Period. At C5-6, there was a subannular disc osteophyte complex causing mild stenosis and flattening of the spinal cord. Period. There was also moderate bilateral neuroforaminal stenosis. Period. At C6-7, there was a subannular disc herniation with effacement of the ventral thecal sac without cord compression, causing moderate right and mild left neuroforaminal stenosis. Period. At C7-T1, it was negative. Period. The 5/10/21 EMG found mild ulnar neuropathy at the right elbow, comma, mild median neuropathy at the wrist, comma, severe old right superficial radial neuropathy, comma, and borderline right C6 radiculopathy. Period. Dr. Testaudi's diagnosis were cervicalgic with disc degeneration and cervical radiculopathy. Period. He was then referred for physiatric consultation to consider additional injection therapy. Period. He returned on 7/15/21, stating he recently had an epidural by Dr. Gupta without any relief. and was scheduled to undergo another injection the following week. Period. On 7/30/21, he related having a second injection. Period. He reported no relief with this either and is seeing Dr. Gupta later in the day for follow-up. Period. Dr. Testaudi continued to follow his progress and opined they would consider surgical intervention pending response to injections. Period. Dr. Jarmain, J-A-R-M-A-I-N, performed a physiatric consultation on 11/4/21 to consider injections. Period. He renewed tramadol and he was to continue Flexeril, comma Tylenol, comma naproxen, comma and pregabalin capsule twice per day. Period. He diagnosed cervical disc disorder at C4-5 level with myelopathy. Period. He advised the patient he should be careful and avoid activities that could lead to potential injury or trauma, as he is at higher risk for cord injury, such as quadriplegia, comma, paralysis, etc., than the average individual given the degree of cord compression seen on imaging. Period. Should he develop frank weakness, comma, any balance or coordination issues, or bowel or bladder incontinence, he should present immediately to the emergency room. Period. New paragraph. He was evaluated by spine surgeon Dr. Vaccaro, V-A-C-C-A-R-O, on 1/18/22. His diagnosis was symptomatic cervical myelopathy. Period. He suggested surgical intervention, advising it was only to arrest the progression of his myelopathic symptoms. Period. He may not have any improvement of his symptoms. Period. On 2/28/22, he underwent anterior cervical decompression and fusion. Period. A second procedure was done on 3/7/22. Period. He noted the ENT specialist found a granuloma. Period. He was going to continue with physical therapy. Period. The procedure of 3/8/22 involved irrigation and debridement of superficial seroma of the anterior cervical spine. Period. He saw Dr. Vaccaro through 10/21/22, noting the results of an FCE done on 10/11/22. Period. He demonstrated the ability for medium category work involving occasional lifting and work up to 50 pounds. Period. It was recommended he be allowed to change activities during the periods of prolonged and repetitive end-range cervical positioning for greater than 10 minutes. Period. Mr. Carlin believed it was unsafe for him to operate a bus or do the activities of his job descriptions. Period. He was again educated on cervical myelopathy, which tends to be a progressive disorder. Period. Hopefully surgery will stop it from worsening. Period. New paragraph. ENT evaluation was done on 3/30/22 by Dr. Spiegel, S-P-I-E-G-E-L. Period. He noted Mr. Carlin underwent anterior cervical discectomy and fusion through a left anterior approach in February. Period. He complains of requiring a leftward head turn maneuver to swallow liquids to avoid choking and occasional choking on solid foods. Period. Dr. Spiegel also performed video stroboscopy. Period. His diagnosis was that of oropharyngeal dysphagia, DYSPHAGIA. Period. On 12/15/22, an EMG was done by Dr. DHOLAKIA. Period. He wrote, it was abnormal, revealing mild right median neuropathy at the wrist, such as carpal tunnel syndrome. Period. This affects only the sensory component of the median nerve, with no evidence of sensory or motor axon loss. Period. There was no electrodiagnostic evidence at that time for right ulnar neuropathy or right cervical radiculopathy. Period. He then was seen on 1/6/23 by Dr. Aboud, A-B-B-O-U-D, to review these results. Period. He deemed the petitioner had plateaued as far as improvement and was at maximum medical improvement. Period. He is retired. Period. Dr. Aboud did not recommend any further surgery to the elbow for the lesion of the ulnar nerve. Period. It does consideration for hand specialist consultation was also discussed. Period. On 10/24/22, Dr. Aboud wrote correspondence to his field case management nurse, Ms. Schaefer, S-H-A-F-E-R. Period. He described his course of treatment to date. Period. He also noted the results of the EMG and the fact he underwent cervical spine fusion. Period. New paragraph. On 2/27/23, he underwent a need for treatment evaluation with Dr. Strauss. Period. He described Mr. Carlin's course of treatment to date. Period. X-rays of the right hand taken that day demonstrated severe osteoarthritis of the MP joints of the index and middle fingers. Period. He diagnosed osteoarthritis of the right hand. Period. They discussed various treatment options and he recommended injections. Period. He saw Dr. Strauss again on 3/15/23, noting imaging done by Dr. Bowden and Dr. Gupta showed no evidence of trauma to the MP joints of his hand. But there was no demonstration of abnormality in the area of his MP joints. Period. He had no complaints referable to this area. Period. Accordingly, Dr. Strauss concluded his current symptomatology in these joints is degenerative in nature and unrelated to his work-related fall. Period. New paragraph. Prior records show Mr. Carlin was evaluated by Dr. Peacock on 2/28/05 and reference to an injury at work on 1/23/04. Period. Within past medical history, it was noted he had hand and wrist surgery in 1990 in the U.S. Navy and knee surgery in 1975. Period. Dr. David also performed a permanency evaluation of 5/25/05 for the same injury period. He also listed a history of surgery for laceration with repair of the radial nerve of his right wrist and dorsal aspect of his right hand that was service related. Period. We are also in receipt of extensive records from the Veterans Administration, who treated him for various disorders. Period. On 11/4/99, he was seen for a right forearm injury from a week earlier after a 4x4 supporting the roof fell into his arm and knocked him to the ground. Period. He had a history of prior injury to the right forearm, which resulted in a cut nerve with a loss of sensation to the fourth and fifth fingers and altered sensation in the first two third fingers. Period. On 8/30/07, he underwent an EMG that mentions repetitive use of the right wrist for motorcycle riding. Period. On 12/10/07, he complained of right wrist pain. Period. He gave a prior history of falling in the shower and severing the radial nerve in 1985 with reconstructive surgery. Period. On 5/22/14, he underwent a maxillofacial CAT scan following an eye injury. Period. It also revealed degenerative changes in the cervical spine. Period. On 6/19/20, they noted he had long-standing history of chronic right hand pain, with surgery in 1997 to repair the right median nerve, and from then on his right hand had been problematic. Period. A subsequent EMG was also conducted. Period. Physical exam, general appearance, he was hard of hearing, extremities upper, there was an angulation of the right small and long fingers at the DIP joints. Period. He had prominence of the right olecranon process. Period. There was open-heeled surgical scar about the radial wrist that he attributed to a glass door injury. Period. He also had healed scarring on the right medial epicondyle. And, period. There was swelling of the right greater than left metacarpophalangeal joints. Period. And then normal through soft touch sensation was decreased on the dorsal aspect of the right second metacarpal but was otherwise intact. Period. Many muscle testing was 4+/5 for resisted right pinch grip and hand and grip strength but was otherwise 5/5. Period. With fine motor testing, he complained of decreasing skills in the right hand with small objects. Period. There was tenderness of the right greater than left on the grooves and the second metacarpal phalangeal joint. The second metacarpal. Period. Hands with elbows, normal. Extremities lower, normal. Spine cervical. Inspection revealed a well-healed anterior transverse scar, but preserved with a better curve. Period. Active flexion was to 20 degrees, comma, extension to 15 degrees, comma. Rotation right, 40 degrees and left to 45 degrees. With side bending right, 10 degrees and left 5 degrees. Period. The rest of that is normal. Thoracic normal, lumbar sacral. He was tender at the lumbar sacral junction and right greater trochanter, but not the left. Period. The rest of that is normal. He did have hand dynamometry that demonstrated weakness in the right hand at every setting compared to the left. Period. Impression: Stephen Carlin slipped and fell on ice at work on 2/9/21. Period. Per his claim petitioner, he alleges injuring the right elbow, head, and hip. Period. However, he did go on for treatment at the right hand and cervical spine. Period. It was noted he had significant prior injury to the right arm resulting in nerve laceration surgically repaired. period after the subject event, he underwent diagnostic testing, including x-rays, EMG, and MRI studies. Pretty saw a variety of specialists. He did submit to surgery on the right arm to be inserted here. Pretty also had surgery on the cervical spine to be inserted here. Pretty eventually he was deemed to have achieved maximum medical improvement. Pretty he did retire and felt he could no longer safely perform his job as a bus driver. Period. New paragraph, the current examination found there to be a prominent right olecranon process and other changes noted above. Period. Provocative maneuvers were negative for compression neuropathy or internal derangement. Pretty had decreased cervical spine motion, but Sperling's maneuver was negative. Pretty had full range of motion of the thoracic and lumbar spines. Pretty new paragraph, there is 10% permanent partial total disability referable to the cervical spine. Pretty relative to the right hand, there is 5% permanent partial disability. Period referable to the right arm for his ulnar nerve decompression, there is 7.5% permanent partial disability. Period, this is superimposed upon prior nerve trauma treated surgically, for which I would offer at least 5% partial disability. Period. The petitioner also develops arthritis unrelated to the incident in question. Period. It does likely explain some of his ongoing symptoms. Period. And that is the end.